For the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the theme of seeking. We ask the question each week, what is it that you are seeking in your life? When you come to church, when you go to your homes, when you go out among people, what are you looking for? What is it that seems to be missing in your life? We've looked at seeking hope, and seeking peace, and seeking joy in our existence. And this week, we come to the question, what does it mean to seek love for ourselves, for our community, and for those around us? Our first instinct in life, from the moment we are born, is to seek, to need, and to want love. From the moment we enter this world, we are needy beings. We want others to give us a sense of security, to care for us, and to love us deeply despite our flaws, our screaming, our sniveling, and the other things we do when we were babies. Our desire to be loved gets played out for the rest of our lives, through our relationships, through our careers, and in our family life. So often our need to be loved is overwhelming, and we can heap our needs to people who unfortunately aren't always prepared to give us what we want. Instead, we feel empty and only more desirous of our first need, which is to be loved. If you are seeking love in your life, you are certainly not alone. To be loved means to be appreciated, to be cared about, to be affirmed in who you are, to be accepted at your deepest core. Our first lover in our lives is our mother, our mothers who sacrifice for us simply to give us life. But how deep the pain can be when later in life the imperfection of human love is revealed. I remember when I was in elementary school, one day I had come home from school and I was facing rejection for one reason or another. I don't remember the details. I remember being devastated by something that happened at school and the way that kids gave me a hard time. What I remember most about that moment was not only that I was in tears and that I was crying, but the safe space that I found to do so was my mother's lap. And as I sat in my mom's lap, I remember that my tears were not the only ones, for my mom sat and cried with me. She told me how silly the other kids were because they didn't know who I was. They couldn't appreciate me, but I was very, very special. Believe it or not, I believed her. Maybe it gave me a complex for the rest of my life that other people don't know how special I am. But there was something about that moment in which the love of my mother took on a different form. She didn't sit across the room and listen to me. I didn't only sit in her lap, but she wept real tears of love and of mourning with me. Love in its most potent form is the love that enters into our lives where we are. It bears our cares, our fears, and our burdens. The deepest and the truest love in life that we seek is love that not only looks across the room, but enters into our moment, walks with us. The people of Israel at the time of the prophet Isaiah were deeply grieving. They had once been a part of a great kingdom. They had beautiful homes and palaces and walls. It was a wonderful place to live. Now their reality had been turned on its head, and they had been scattered, tossed, and divided. It would have been easy for the people of Israel at this time to have felt abandoned by God. They wanted nothing else to know that they had not been forgotten, that they were loved. And it is on this scene that Isaiah comes and writes the words that we heard today, that a child will be born. His name will be called Emmanuel. Now, I don't know how your Hebrew is, but Emmanuel is not just a pretty name, but the breakdown is Im is with. And Imanu means with us. Imanu El for Elohim is God. So Emmanuel literally means with us, God. So this child was not only a royal king or someone who would come to bring justice or salvation to a people, but in this baby, in this act of God's love, God would be present. Emmanuel, with us, El, God. Hebrew names are significant. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that many of the names, especially in Genesis and beyond, are constant reminders of the nature of the people. Isaac, Yitzhak, is a constant reminder that his parents laughed when they found out they were pregnant at an old age. Ishmael, his brother, his half-brother, was a reminder that this was a man of God. Adam, Ha-Adam, means from the earth. These names were constant reminders so the people would not forget the mark that God had placed in their lives. And in the same way, Isaiah said that this child, Emmanuel, would be a reminder that he's not just a child, not just a baby that would grow to be a man, but would in his life be God's presence in flesh. God would be present in the world of the people who were hurting and who were seeking love. Isaiah spoke these words centuries before Jesus' birth so that the people who would hear him, they were living in darkness, it would give them a sense of hope for the future, a hope that God would not only be present with them, but would enter into their space and that would live in flesh. God would not abandon the people, but God would enter into this world and would not let the people be destroyed. It was so important that as Isaiah wrote these words of presence to the people, because there is nothing more that evokes love in our lives like presence. I don't mean gifts, I mean presence, being present. Think about it. If you've ever had to face anything difficult in your life, words of comfort and words of advice can be nice. But if you've ever had to go through a deep and dark and difficult moment, the most important thing that someone can do is simply to sit or to walk or to stand with us. Empathy can be a powerful gift in these moments. It is often the person who has walked the same road, who has gone through the same sort of thing, who can be the most present with us because they understand, they care, they get it. Words aren't necessary. Their presence alone is healing. In the case of my elementary school breakdown on my mother's lap, it was her mourning with me that healed my deep wound in that moment. My sisters and brothers, God is with us. Emmanuel, perhaps the people of Israel felt that God was watching them from a distance, doing nothing to help their plight, nothing to assuage their fears, and nothing to comfort them in their grieving. On a side note, I saw a commercial that Bette Midler has a review show coming out, and I was singing some of the songs on the commercial, and her hit, God is Watching Us from a Distance, came on. And as I was humming the tune, I thought about the words and how pretty the song was and how theologically incorrect the notion of the song was. And then I realized I need to get a life. But as the words suggest, God is watching us from a distance. Just doesn't really seem to do it for me. From a distance, there is harmony. From a distance, God is watching us. If God were only watching the people of Israel, if God were only watching us, how would we experience God's love? How would God empathize with us? How could God heal us? Emmanuel brings God not only on the scene, away from a distance, but in the middle of the room, but it brings God right in the boat of our suffering and in our despair with us. What better incarnation of love than for God to breathe our breath? Think about that. God has breathed the same breath that we breathe. God cries our tears. God shares our needs. If you are seeking love in your life, know that deep love is incarnational. The same God who created the universe shared this planet in the form first of a baby. God's love for us brought God into our pain. So often when we seek love, it is easy to expect perfect love from imperfect beings. So often our expectations from our parents, from our sisters, from our brothers, from our children, from our spouses are so high. And if we're ever let down in one way or another, it can destroy our concept or our understanding of love. Now, we are to love one another, but our love is imperfect. God's love. God's love alone is perfect. For God suffers with us, cries with us, rejoices with us. No matter what you may be dealing with this season, there is a deep love for you. And that love can receive your tears. That love can bear your burdens. Say this word with me, Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen. Amen.